but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I've talked off and on in the last few weeks about the Mount Rushmore of sports in the state of Oregon. And it creates a fun debate about, you know, who are the most influential Oregonians when it comes to sports? And what do you make of the impact or the criteria for those people? Steve Prefontaine, gets a lot of run as one of the most influential Oregonians in history. Steve Prefontaine Classic, the Prefontaine Classic coming up. I thought it'd be a good time to get on Jeff Oliver, who has done a terrific job with the Prefontaine Classic as the media czar. And I think it'd be a good chance to let us get a little bit of insight into this event, how it impacts the state, what we can expect from it. I know I've got a photographer, Tim Healy, that will be covering it for johncanzano.com. Media coming from around the world to cover this event. And I can remember it was one of the first events I covered maybe, I guess, all those years ago. And I went to Priest Rock during the event. When my first time that I was in the state of Oregon and this event was going on, I went to Priest Rock to kind of just see the scene on you know, one of the event days. And it was this parade of people who were coming up the hill to kind of pay their respects to Steve Prefontaine. Jeff Oliver is here with us. He is the media czar of the Prefontaine Classic, and he's joining us. Are you all right with that title, Jeff?
Yeah, that's, I think, the first time I've been called that, but we'll take it. I think my official title in the Diamond League realm, the Prefontaine Classic, is press chief, so we can go with either one.
Press chief sounds very official, but yeah, let's, all right, talk, for people who don't understand Tracktown USA and the Prefontaine Classic, can you help us understand how these things go hand in hand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in the middle of it here in Tracktown USA, just coming off the NCAA Division I championships this last weekend. We have an event coming up, the Nike Outdoor Nationals. 4,000 kiddos from around the country are going to be here this weekend. That event's kind of like the McDonald's All-American game for basketball, for high school basketball. The best of the best are coming here to Eugene. And so we've got college athletes, we've got high school athletes, and then we have the professionals that are coming for the pre-classic here on July 5th.
I am eager to see the field and eager to see this event, but maybe you can help us understand kind of the context of the Prefontaine Classic and what it means to the track and field scene in our state.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Mount Rushmore of, you know, people from Oregon, athletes from Oregon. Definitely Steve Prefontaine belongs on that. You know, everything that he accomplished on the track, held, you know, all kinds of records at one time, and breaking them left and right when he was in high school and college, running for the Ducks. And then, you know, back when, you know, after his collegiate career, just kind of the landscape of being an Olympian, you had to retain your amateur status. So when he was done running in college, he didn't have an opportunity to go pro and make a bunch of money. He had to keep that amateur status so that he could look forward to go running in the Olympics. And he fought hard to kind of change that. And I think he would be very, very kind of proud, I mean, to see what we're looking at in the landscape of college athletics now and athletes being able to get paid when they're in college. And then obviously, if you do well there, you have a professional career, just like all of us. We go to school to create a career, and then we go and we make our money. He really kind of set that tone And now, you know, pre-classic 50th edition, part of a circuit called the Diamond League Global Circuit, just had a couple meets over in Oslo and Stockholm this last weekend. And they're coming to the United States next. And this is where these athletes get to, you know, run fast, throw far, jump far, and make their money.
The caliber of athlete that you're seeing in the Prefontaine Classic, you know, we've seen world championships, we've seen Olympic track and field. What are we going to see with this event?
Gosh, it's absolutely outstanding. We have, my last count is 13 of the gold medalists from Paris are going to be here in Eugene on July 5th for the pre-classic. We have 5 events alone that are featuring the entire podium from Paris. And so all these athletes, I mean, it's, you know, obviously the we'll argue the best track and field meet in the United States, and we'll put our reputation down there. This is going to be one of the best meets, you know, ever contested kind of worldwide. The athletes want to come and they want to compete against the, you know, themselves, the best against the best. They want to come run at Hayward Field, which is the best track and field venue in the world. But they also want to come and honor Steve Prefontaine, because it kind of, as I mentioned, you know, he really kind of set the tone of maybe the landscape of where professional track and field is today.
I am looking on the website, preclassic.com. You know, again, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the death of Steve Prefontaine. This is a special one. It says that, you know, the ticket inventory is sold out. There may be more seating that comes available. What can you tell people that want to see this event? How can they get to it?
Yeah, definitely. If you're looking to maybe make the trip down to Eugene, keep an eye on that the ticket info page that we have on our website. Join our email list. The ticket inventory opens up. That's you guys are going to hear first, that email list. And it's just like any big event. You know, we're getting some of our partners are giving tickets back, and we're kind of going through everything with the fine-tooth comb to make sure that anybody that wants to get in there is going to be able to have a seat. And that place, the Hayward Field, is going to be full, 12,500 people, and just have that place rocking. We do our job, and it is an absolute sellout. If you can't be here, the event is live on NBC from 1 to 3 on July 5th.
We are talking with Jeff Oliver, who is the press chief of the Prefontaine Classic. The 50th anniversary, what did that do to the interest level and maybe the media credential requests in your world?
Yeah, in that world, we're getting, you know, we always get requests from around the world, but, you know, people coming just to, maybe for the first time, media outlets over from Europe that are going to be here. Obviously, in today's age, there's the opportunities to cover the event remotely, and we're set up with remote interviews and photos. You mentioned, you know, Tim Healy come in, and he'll help contribute to that effort. And, attention from all around, you know, the traditional media, TV shows in Europe, traditional newspapers, and obviously, you know, social media in our current world has a lot of interest. And so we're also seeing, you know, interest from fans. Traditionally, the Pre-Classic has been Memorial Day weekend, a bit of a shift this year towards the 4th of July weekend. And that's, you know, kind of opened it up to track and field fans and families from around the country and even the world. You know, school's not in session. You can kind of make this trip, come out to Oregon, get to see everything we offer, and, you know, see the best track and field meet in the world.
The move of dates, did that impact interest? Did it impact the number of athletes that could be available? Was there some strategy in changing this venue to July 5th or this date to July 5th?
Yeah, part of the reason for just the shift is kind of where we fall into the global track and field calendar. And really, the pre-classic is just of high profile and where we can kind of fit to get the best athletes over here to the U.S. We just kind of wrapped up a little mini European tour over there with some Diamond League meets. They're going to come over here to the U.S. for a few meets, get out here to the West Coast, do the American tour. But we're hopeful that this is going to produce even better, you know, marks on the track and on the field. You know, being a little later in the season, these athletes kind of know what they're capable now. Obviously, they're all shooting for the World Championships, which are in Tokyo in September. So they're kind of just getting into their prime, knowing that they're in shape and they're going to, you know, be able to do their best out there and run against the best. And so we're hopeful it's just going to make the meet even better with this shift towards July.
Jeff Oliver with Tracktown USA and the Prefontaine Classic is with us. We've debated this on the show, Jeff, and where do you think Pre fits in the legacy and the history of the state of Oregon and his impact on sports in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, if track and field as a sport is going to be kind of considered one of, you know, the state of Oregon's, you know, top sports out there, definitely you got to put Steve Prefontaine's name along with that. From what he did as a young high schooler out there at Marshfield, I believe you kind of recently maybe interviewed the author of the new book. Brendan does a great job kind of chronicling kind of the middle school years of Steve, the young high school years, and kind of how he developed and really got to a point where he was just dominating at the high school level. So that alone, I mean, the list of records that he held is probably comparable to the number of gold medalists that we have coming running in the pre this year. That alone, what he did on the track kind of earns him a spot, in my opinion. But then again, what he fought for kind of athlete rights and the ability to go and run in meets and make money and make a career and make a living and support their families off this, 50 years ago was just the kind of the start of probably what we're seeing today in the landscape of college sports and pro sports.
I think it's fascinating to look at this event and think about all the athletes that have come through and the historic performances and the glow that it creates in the state of Oregon for track and field. What more can it be, Jeff? What can track and field do to raise the profile? I know the new Hayward Field has been, brought some high-profile events to our region, but where can this event fit with, you know, sort of the trajectory of what's happening in our state?
Yeah, I mean, fill Hayward Field up. We're going to do a good job at that this year. All these athletes come from around the world, and they want to hear that roar, so. We're pretty confident we're going to do our job there and get people to Hayward Field. And, you know, again, if you can't make it, watch it on TV. I think in the sporting landscape at every level from, you know, we always see after the Ducks play a big game at Austin how many people maybe watch that game on TV. Hey, tune in on Saturday, July 5th, you know, even if you're not, you know, a huge track fan, just, you know, there's so many, the beauty shots of Hayward, the beauty shots of the mountains, the beauty shots of the ocean. Kind of watch those and just feel proud that we get to live in this place and we get to have this amazing venue at Hayward Field and continue to host these big-time track and field meets.
I am eager to see some of the events. Do you have an event, Jeff, that you're interested to see or maybe a group of competitors that you're thinking about as this meet approaches?
Yeah, I mean, we are having the men's pole vault again this year. Mondo Duplantis, that guy is just amazing. He just broke the world record again yesterday in Stockholm in the men's pole vault. I think he knows like how high he can really jump, and he just breaks it by a centimeter or so each time. I think he's broke it now 11 times, his own world record, 11 times, and twice that's happened at Hayward. So we're hoping, again, July 5th, that he'll break that record again, jump high. And then again, you can't talk about the pre-classic without the Bowerman Mile. It's the greatest mile race in the world. So many guys, I mean, that entire field is going to run, you know, under 4 minutes, maybe even under 3:50. And so that race kind of caps the event, you know, wearing my media hat, obviously pretty busy making sure all the reporters like yourself, you know, get their interviews with the athletes. But I always try to sneak out there for that Bowerman Mile just to watch that amazing race.
Jeff Oliver with us, the Prefontaine Classic coming up July 5th. You can go to preclassic.com if you want to hear more about that. Jeff, give us a little bit of your story for people who are going, hey, how might I get involved? How might I have a career in something like this? You know, your journey and the path that it's taken you with Tracktown USA and the Prefontaine Classic, did you start off saying this is something you wanted to do when you were older?
Interestingly, I started with the Prefontaine Classic when I was a student at U of O. And interestingly, my freshman dorm was across the street from Hayward Field. And I remember that spring, those track and field meets got started pretty early. And I was, gosh, what is going on in there? Why is that blaring? And get up a little groggy, maybe a little grumpy. But I soon, you know, discovered all the amazing things that were happening over there. And thankfully, my senior year was able to get connected to the Prefontaine Classic and Tom Jordan, who was the longtime meet director of the Pre-Classic and really, you know, made it to what it is today. And got connected to running media operations, being the press chief for the Prefontaine Classic. This will be my 23rd Pre-Classic and thankful to be around that long and along the way. Obviously, Olympic trials, everything else that's happened at Hayward Field. And actually, last summer I was super blessed. I got to spend 3 months over in Paris under the media operations at the track and field venue, Stade de France over there. So kind of the cherry on top to be able to do that.
I love it. I love the story. I love the trajectory. Any insight on how many credentialed media from how many parts of the world yet, or is that still kind of getting sewed up?
Oh, yeah, they're flowing in. I think the deadline, you know the media people, they like to push it down to the last deadline. So I think accreditation closes here on Friday. And so I think right now we're at about 125. Again, people that maybe can't make the trip out, we're able to accommodate them remotely. And so a couple years ago when we hosted what was the Diamond League final, the number of media impressions around the world, that number like was over a billion. So eyeballs are on it if they're here in person or if they're able to cover it remotely. So, yeah, I'm sure a few more dozen will roll in here over the next week. And we'll do our best to get him at the Hayward and then keep telling the C.P. Fontaine story.
I love it. And I love that you can speak to human nature as well and everybody waiting the last minute. Like, what is that about? What is that about? And you're so right, because so many people will set the deadline as the day they need to act instead of going early. I don't understand what that is, but I'm guilty of it as well. Sometimes I'll look up and go, I had weeks to do this. Why did I wait?
Hey, you know from personal experience, I made you and Tim kind of work for that credential. Not that you were late, but I got to fuss everybody out to make sure it's legit. So.
I love that, though. I love that because you probably do get requests from people who are just like, they're huge track fans, and they want to come out, and they want to see the event, and they want access, and they want to be there, and they're really, really just trying to get a credential to be inside the venue and be inside the ropes, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you got to weigh it all. I mean, you're in the media game. You kind of know eyeballs are king, and so you just got to flush everything out, take a look at things. And again, at the end of the day, my job in the media world is to be able to spread the story of Steve Prefontaine, the story of the Prefontaine Classic to as many people as possible and get those people in, the number of seats, number of photo positions that we can put in there.
Jeff Oliver with Prefontaine Classic and also with Track 10 USA. Hey, thank you for your time. July 5th. Pre-Classic will be taking place. Go to preclassic.com if you want more info on that. Jeff, thanks for joining us, man.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, John.
All right. There he goes. He is the media czar of the Prefontaine Classic, and he's got a tough job. He's the gatekeeper for all the credentials, and I was emailing with him because, you know, I'm sending a photographer, Tim Healy, out to the event. Want him to shoot it. Shot it last year for us at johnconzano.com, and, you know, Jeff was asking questions like, you know, hey, where the photo is going to be used, all that stuff, all legit stuff that he has to go through. And I was like, you know what? This would be a fun conversation to take on air, particularly because you've got NCAA championships that happen at Hayward Field. You've got world championships that happen at Hayward Field. You have the Olympic trials that happen at Hayward Field. Now, of course, you have the Prefontaine Classic at Hayward Field as well. I know that I'm focused on this event. I know that this event is important in the state of Oregon. And I know that Steve Prefontaine's legacy plays a massive role in sort of how you shape, you know, the narrative on, you know, a great athlete in his career. I want you to leave it here. Coming up, we're going to Omaha, Nebraska. That's right, Omaha. College Baseball World Series, the College World Series, taking place in Omaha. Scott Lakem, the athletic director of University of Portland, is going to join us from Omaha. What's the scene there? Why is he there? Stick around and find out.